Okay, I want everybody to put your big boy or big girl pants on, and we're going to talk to you. I'm excited about my message. You might not be, but we're gonna talk about three areas this morning, and it just seems like after preaching about stirring up the gift, Kirk made a comment, and then I felt I had to work through that comment and get some stuff on it, because I knew there was more to what I was preaching last week about stirring up the gift of God within you, and that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Keep in mind, please, if you weren't here, that when that verse 6 comes in there, that or 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, of fire, whatever it is. He's talking about that spirit of fear that will keep you from flowing in the gifts. People use that just generally. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he's really talking about the fact that he was telling Timothy to stir up the gift. Do you know the word gift comes from the same word we get grace from? And so stir up that grace, stir up that gift. How many have ever thought about you being a member of the body of Christ? Do you ever stop and think what the body of Christ is all about? You know, you hear people talking about church membership and member here and member someone else. And I really joined a big organization. I became a member of Sam's. And, but I want to start out by talking about the body of Christ, and then I want to talk about the functions of the body of Christ and how you're part of it. Now, get rid of false self-humility. Because for years, the church has told themselves that we're not worthy to do anything, so we're just going to sit. It's not only faults of sense of humility, but it's also laziness. And by this time this is over, I'm not going to individually prophesy to you and tell you that you have this gift. But there are in Romans chapter 12 what we call the gifts of grace. Or you can call them motivational gifts. Every one of you have one. And you can pretty well look at that in your life and say, what am I? Am I a server? Am I a giver? Am I a teacher? Is this what's inside me that's coming out? Because without your gift functioning, it's like you living without an arm. Part of the body's missing. We know who the head is. Who's the head? So we're all flowing with the head to accomplish what God has called us to do. And he's never called anyone just to sit on the premises. I love the way you're shouting. I love you. You can't scare me today. I was up with Uncle Bud just starting to pray for him, and he threw up all over. I've been through it this week. So after going through that, there's nothing that you can do to intimidate me. I've been intimidated by, well, stuff that you didn't need to see. So turn with me in your Bibles, and we're just going to read a few of these. Now, the interesting part of this message is the fact that you've been designed by God to be who you are. Okay, I love my response. How many of you don't like yourself? You just wish you were somebody else. I want to tell you something. Now, please, God designed your gifting and you for what he needed in the body. And without you taking your place in this body, and we're going to show you that, the body doesn't function completely. How many want to vote? If you believe what Pastor says, raise your hand. If you don't believe, raise your hand. How many just going to abstain from the whole message? Now look at this. I'm just going to take a few verses here, and we're going to talk about power in a moment. That God's equipped you with power to function as His body. Start looking with me at verse number 12. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. How many missed that? I said it 14 times. You keep out of it. Yeah, we want to go back to the throwing up part. Poor Uncle Bud. 12, 12. Say 12, 12 with me. For as the body is one, not many, the body is one. How many of you have different parts? How many realize you're one body? Okay. So as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether by Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. For by one Spirit we've been baptized into one body. Okay, look at me. You're not baptized into this body by water. When you go to see, and maybe I'll get a call, a baby's dedication or baptism, and they sprinkle water on him, what does that water mean? Nothing. They might be a member of the church, that church, but they're not a member of the body of Christ. Are we okay?
Yes.
So here's what happens. The Holy Spirit places or baptizes people into the body of Christ. When I baptize people, that'll work. That's a work. Work can't save anybody. For by grace you're saved. Through what?
Grace.
It's a what? Gift of, not of what? Lest any man should boast. Okay. I baptize you out of what Jesus said. Go into all the world and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's believer baptism. The Bible says repent and be baptized. So let's just get something straight. The water is not going to get the baby to heaven. Jesus will. Because what has a baby done wrong besides being born? We okay? And so there's nothing wrong with baptizing a baby. What's wrong with baptizing a baby is the message. It's like confirmation. I love confirmation. There's nothing wrong with confirmation. But most of the kids in America that go through confirmation never come back to church. And they never really come to a place of knowing Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin before we're born again. We accept Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit then takes us and places us into the body of Christ. It's like Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit's not the one doing the baptizing. Jesus is. Remember what John the Baptist says? There's one coming after me whose shoe I'm not worthy to tie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Who is he talking about? Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Okay. Hope I'm not confusing you too much. So anyway, the body of Christ is made up of people and only the people who've accepted Jesus Christ. There's no one in the body of Christ who hasn't accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Nobody. And there's nobody going to be in heaven who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We okay? Are you sure? You want to go home now? And so we come to the place of this body. Now let's look at it. Okay, let me do something else quick. How many of you have ever felt you didn't belong? Why didn't you belong? You're the wrong color. Your hair is not right. You're too old. How many of you have ever looked at your big toe and say, you don't belong in my body? Hello. We don't do that, do we? But people do it in the church. Why would we ever come to a place after Christ has forgiven us and we're sitting in a chair and I hopefully not beating you up all the time. That's not my intent. But we come to a place where we say, I just don't fit. It just doesn't work for me. Okay, remember 2 weeks ago we talked about mothers and fathers in the body of Christ? How can you be a mother and father in the body of Christ if you don't even feel you belong? And most of the people sit in church thinking, well, I'm condemned, I'm such a sinner, I'm this or that. Why not let the righteousness of Jesus Christ take care of your sin and the blood of Christ and just live your life? Say amen, Tony, I need one. Okay, thank you. Bye, I'm getting scared. No, I'm not scared anymore. I figured that out. So if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, and if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body, if the whole body were the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where would be the smelling? Wouldn't it be amazing this morning if every one of us were pastors of this church? That's all you had. You had 75 pastors, and each one took their turn. Well, it's my turn to preach, I'm pastor. It's my turn to preach, I'm pastor. It's my turn to preach, I'm pastor. So we had, every one of you got up this morning and just preached the message. And about midnight, we'd all be sleeping. Doesn't work that way. God has placed, by his design, people in the body of Christ to do what he's called them to do. You have giftings that I have no way of having. I've always wanted to have long hair and play guitar. I wanted to look like Kirk used to. You have to put up a picture. I thought he was a member of the Outlaws or Hell's Angels or something. But we got different gifts. The thing about it is people look at themselves and they don't like at times, or they don't think they're adequate, or they don't think they can flow, they don't think they can, because they're looking at themselves. The gifts come from God. These gifts that God has placed in his body come from God, and he's the one that ministers them through you. Okay, my wife has at times more mercy than I do. We got a little cat outside our house. I told her the other day I'm going to shoot it. What do you think she said? You can leave and I'll take the cat in the house. She had mercy. I think of that little thing jumping on me every time I go outside. Wanting to climb in the house. Somebody let in the house the other day. Boy, that thing went out quick. You know what happens if she gets a cat in the house? Jenny has two cats to feed when she comes over. But we all have different giftings. But every one of us are needed in the body of Christ to perform the giftings that God has given us, which He's flowing through us. Okay. The Bible tells us, and let's just look at it. How many of you get excited when somebody else gets blessed? How many of you have a normal attitude of why not me? How many of you can weep with somebody when things are going wrong in their life? And how many of you have the attitude, about time they got paid? God has put us all together so that we rejoice when someone rejoices. That's part of the body. How many have ever hurt another part of your body but your head start aching? Why does that happen? Because it's part of the body. So as a body comes together in the love and the unity of the Spirit, things begin to flow. Do you realize there was a time in Judges that the nation was in crisis? And here's how that book closes. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Huh. No thought of anybody else. Everybody did what they figured they wanted to do and could care less about everybody else. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ comes together. And so what has God done? God has taken His own love and placed it within the believer's heart, so that we walk in love and unity and power, and He's taken His divine ability and shared it with us, so we have some of the abilities that God has to do what the body needs. And everyone, say everyone. Say this, I'm important. I have a place. I have a gift in the body of Christ. And today, I'm standing up and take the place that God has put me in to do His will. You know, if we would look at that, because I understand Sunday morning you come and you sing and you do this and you give and you do this and you go home. But it's bigger than that. It's like every one of you are little lights. And when you're not showing up and you're not participating, there's a dark spot in the building. We have to understand that every one of you is loved by God and has value in the eyes of God. You may look at yourself and said, but this or but that and that happened or this. You have value in the eyes of God. It's not based on what you've done or not done. It's based on the fact that He has faith in you and He loves you and His grace is sufficient for you. And He wants you to stand in His kingdom, in His body as His child. Please don't let anybody take that away from you. It's absolutely vital in these days that the Church of Jesus Christ understands what I'm preaching to you. And I should have preached it over and over and over again. So He's placed His love in you to love everyone. Now, something you need to understand. Jesus, in John 13, had just washed the disciples' feet. Judas had betrayed him or was going to betray him. And he looked at his disciples and he said, "By this they'll know you're my disciples, by your love." How many enjoy having God love you? How many of you enjoy loving other people? How many of you look at other people as a pest at times? So he's given you that love. There's some interesting things here. How many ever looked at the body of Christ and thought unity was important? I've prayed for people whose minds have been short-circuited, where the signals don't get to where you want to go. Ray was talking to me on Wednesday as I took him down to Fargo. He says, "Pastor, I'm having a hard time because my brain doesn't get the signals to my hand to write or do what I'm doing." There are things that make us dysfunctional. And one of those things is coming down your steps on Wednesday morning and taking a nosedive. Kind of makes things a little bit dysfunctional in your leg and your side and your back. And I won't tell you who it was, but you're looking at him. And so there are things that happened. I was, and this is not about me, it's just about an illustration. I was preaching up in northern Minnesota, and I just saw a mind with short-circuiting, you know, sparks. And I thought, well, what is that? And so at the end of the service, I just say, is somebody here going, you know, your mind is just not functioning, it's just short-circuiting? And they brought this young gal up, and they said, the nerves or the brain waves just don't get to the body part they're supposed to go to. You know something? The church is a little bit like that at times. The message don't come from the head to the body to function in the giftings that God's given us. And he's not beating you up over it. You know, there are times that people look and say, "Boy, this is not exciting anymore. What happened?" What happened most of the time is that we quit allowing the Spirit to flow through us in the giftings that he has blessed us with. There's an amazing excitement in the body of Christ. Amazing excitement in what God is doing. But at times we miss it. And at times the message doesn't get through to love. And in that love, Jesus in John 17 in his high priestly prayer says, "Father, that they may be one," as we were talking about unity, "as we are one, so that people will know that you have sent me." Look at me. People have a distorted picture of Jesus because the church has a distorted image of Jesus. You say, "What are you talking about?" There's not a unity that God designed for his body. And when there's not a unity that God has designed for his body, there's the distorted image of the body of Christ that we're all just churchgoers and that's all it is. There's more. The unity in the body of Christ allows the Holy Spirit to do what the head wants the Holy Spirit to do in our midst. When that is happening, there's a power, there's an anointing, there's a presence that God brings into the body. How many of you ever read Ephesians 6:10? How many know what it says? I'll help you. Be strong in the Lord, as far as I'm going, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the schemes or devices of the devil. I want to show you three words in there. I want to show you strong, power, and might. How many ever heard those words before? And to do that, I'm going to read what I wrote down, if I can find it. First one is be strong. It means, it's a Greek word, endouameo. In dunamis is power, we get the word dynamite from, okay? You've heard that. You've heard every pastor preach on dynamite. Let's blow this place up. No. It's an infusing of the believer with an excessive dose of inward strength. It enables you to stand against and withstand any attack and oppression of Satan. Be strong in the Lord. You're not succumbing to the attacks of the devil. You're standing. You're not shaken. You're not moving. You're not running. You're not scared. You're not failing. You're just standing for the body. Power, you'll like this one. It's kratos. Kratos in the Greek, it is a demonstration, eruptive, tangible. It is almost always comes with some type of external, outward manifestation. That was the word that was used when Christ rose from the dead. Kratos. There was a manifestation of the power of God as Christ came out of the grave. Be strong in the Lord and his power. How many feel that strong? Be strong. The word might is very interesting. In the power of his might, it's talking about God. Everybody flex for a minute. Come on. Let me see your muscles. Let's see the flexing.
I want to rip my shirt.
I'll give you a new one. How many remember a man by the name of Charles Atlas? How many remember Hercules? The word that's used here actually is a muscular god. A muscular god that makes Satan look like a wimp. He's the one answering your prayers when you pray. He's the one empowering you to stand against Satan. He's the one that Satan sees when you say the name of Jesus. Then he tells you to put on the whole armor of God. I want to tell you something. We talk about the helmet. We talk about the breastplate. We talk about having our feet shod. Do you understand what having your feet shod? The Roman soldiers had spikes in their shoes coming out the bottom. The old football cleat was nothing compared to the spikes that the Roman soldiers have. And if somebody was trying to run against them, away from them, and they fell down, they'd just walk over them, crushing them. Spikes going in. That's what the gospel does to Satan's attack on Jesus. I was looking at this, because we're going to one more area, prayerfully. And I was just thinking about this, and thinking about this, and thinking about this. When you have on the armor, that whole armor is Jesus. I want you to understand that. That whole armor is Jesus. And when Satan looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ in all his glory, all his splendor. And what does he do? Resist the devil and he'll do what? He'll flee. Don't coexist with him. Let him see Jesus in you. Is anybody alive? Okay. Last week we talked about the 9 spiritual gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, gift of healing, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. How many understand that? They're actually graces or bestowments of God for the body of Christ. Now turn with me to Romans 12. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Are you okay? You ready to march? Women, just understand something. You are now allowed to fight in the military of America. You can go on the front line. You've always been allowed to fight in the spiritual battles for Jesus Christ. The Congress or the President signed an executive order that women can now go to the front lines in Iraq, Afghanistan, or some other war. But you've always been on the front lines for the kingdom of God. Chapter 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, gifts of grace, having gifts differing according to the grace, say grace. If prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That kind of ties in with the 9 spiritual gifts, but if you have words from God, don't be afraid to give them. How many hear from God? 2. What are the rest of you listening to? Somebody said, well, God quit speaking. No, people quit listening. God's always speaking. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. The word ministry actually means serving. Okay, look at me. How many of you just enjoy serving? How many enjoy serving others? You wrap it up here. I can't even say my punchline. I said you could help me on Friday mornings. But none of you want to. You come in and sit down. Okay, if any of you ever have an urge to help somebody, rebuke it, will you? Serving. Got a long ways with that one. The teachers. How many of you like to teach? How many of you just got forced into teaching? Good. Anybody else feel like they're a teacher? Okay. Anybody that knows you don't have any gifts at all, go out. You can leave now. We're going through these anyway, because you might find something. He who exhorts in exhortation, or he who encourages. If you don't have that one, you can start singing Home on the Range. Where never is heard a discouraging word, okay? Are you in the, oh boy, I'm not getting anywhere, Kirk. I'm doing good.
No fear.
How many loves to encourage people? Somebody has to have that. Just build them up. Build them up. Build them up. Build them up. You can't go to Rapid City unless you raise your hand for one of these gifts. No rodeo for you, buddy. I'm afraid of this next one. How many like to make gifts or contributions? Who likes to give? How many givers do we have? Good. Do it liberally, the Bible says. Do it above what's expected. How many have leadership skills? Like to have people following you? How many of you are afraid of people? How many are just love to show mercy? How many are cheerful when you're showing mercy? I guess I'll do this again next week. See what changes.
See if we get better.
Let your love be sincere, the Bible says, as with your gifts. Let your love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hate it. Don't condone it. Don't participate in it. Hate what is evil. Amen? In fact, as the Bible says, hating even the garments that are spotted with the fleshly activities in the book of Jude. Cling to what is good. Now, this one we didn't do very well with Pastor this morning. Be kindly affectionate to your pastor with brotherly love. Never fit this morning, did it? I think I got a spiritual hernia preaching today. I thought this was going to just flow. Not lagging in diligence. Get the whip. Okay, I know you're all this one. Fervent in spirit, red hot for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Here we come again. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Every one of you are blessed by God with gifts. Now you may say, well, I don't really know what mine is. Find out. If you take your billfold out and say, I got to give, I got to give. Oh, it hurts, but I got to give. Probably you're not a giver. If someone comes to you all beat up and bleeding, got hit by a car, and you look at them and say, you better walk faster crossing the street. Probably not too much mercy. Not too much mercy. If pastor comes and said, you want to teach Wednesday night, and you look at me and say, are you kidding? Probably not a teacher. But find where you fit. We are different. We're all in one body, but we're different. How many realize your right hand is different than your left hand? Am I got that right? This right? I was thinking about this yesterday after I got done exercising and I was putting on my shoes. How many of you are right-handed? What shoe do you put on first? I'm left-handed. I always put my left shoe on first. I was trying to figure out, how come I do this? I'm left-handed. If you're up here, or if we're going to a banquet, and you're right-handed, it'll be your right side that gets to eat first. But if pastor's doing it, it'll be your left, because I just automatically go everything to the left. Left, you go first, you wait. You most likely go right, you go first, you wait. You say, I noticed that. So when I go to a banquet, I find out where the director's right-handed or left-handed, and I get on the right side. But we're different. But we're of the same body. That body is Christ. And Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I'm not talking about the gift of service now. I'm talking about whatever gift you have, it's intended to be displayed in the body of Christ. And please, as I'm done, every one of you are important. The fact is, the Bible says the more uncomely parts of the body have greater honor. So if you look at yourself as not fitting in, not important, there's a blessing, there's an honor that comes to you because you will take your place in the body of Christ. We'll close as soon as you say this. Thank you, Pastor. You know, you say, well, how important is that? It's probably one of the more important messages you'll hear besides salvation. That you have a place, that you have gifts, that God has chosen to put you in the body in a certain area. It's vital. It's vital. And then as you grow, you don't know if he's called you to be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, teacher, evangelist. You don't know all at once, but things develop as we start flowing where God is taking us. Do you think the apostle Paul, when he was young, thought that he'd be one of the greatest apostles that ever walked on the earth in the eyes of God, simply for the fact that he was going to write 2/3 of the New Testament? No idea. No idea. Will you give me 2 more minutes? I want to say something. God will never bring a revival to one area at the exclusion of another. When we hear God moving, let's just get hungry, because God shows up where people are hungry. God shows up to people who want him. When Israel got needy and started crying out in Egypt, God sent Moses. God is sending people, ministry, and his Holy Spirit without measure into places in this world where the people are needy for him. And they want him. And they understand that he's the answer. There is no other answer for America. We have to face some reality. I'm reading a book called The Harbinger. Is that how you pronounce it? Amazing how America is tied in to what happened to the nation of Israel, where even one of our Senate leaders, and happened to be from South Dakota, after 9/11, used the scripture that was used in Israel after the Assyrians destroyed it. It's amazing. I never thought I'd get interest in that book. Like Barb, when she gave it to me, said, I couldn't put it down. It's hard to put down because there's always something happening. Our nation is on a collision course with destruction And what's the hope? And who's the hope? The hope is Jesus Christ. But the hope is Jesus Christ through his church. So I challenge you with your gifts that you know you have now, or that you're thinking about, or that you're denying, or that you don't want to know about. We need to take the world for Jesus. It's amazing just to see it. It's amazing as God begins to move in our lives the number of people who know they need something, they just don't know who. Bless you. We love you. Enjoy the rest of a great Sunday.
Sweet name, the name. Spirit.